And by the way, they have auto workers, and yeah. we're about to talk to an auto worker, Tony Leah. Are you there, Tony? Hello, Tony?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you now. And can't see you on the big screen because we're not doing television. So, Tony, you've sort of teased us with the information over the past months with a really big story that in the United Auto Workers, because of a collapse of their leadership in a sea of corruption and the arrest of people and that sort of thing, they changed the process of how leaders are selected, and that is one person, one worker, one vote. And then they headed into a contest, and then everything kind of went quiet. But my understanding is we're near the end of that process. Can you tell us where we are and who the candidates are, that sort of thing?
It's incredibly exciting, and we are very close to the finish line. Because of the consent decree, in order to avoid having the federal government take over the UAW, the previous leadership did agree to let the members decide whether or not they wanted to elect their top leadership. And unsurprisingly, there was a strong vote in a referendum in favor of doing that. So in the past several months, there's been elections for the president of the UAW and the other 13 members of their international executive board. In the first round of voting, a reform group, the same group that had been pushing for years to have one member, one vote, they put together a slate called the UAW Members United. But the group that organized that is called UAWD, Unite All Workers for Democracy. Mm-hmm. And in the first round of voting, five of their candidates were elected outright. And there were two of their candidates who ended up in runoffs. And there was a third person who was elected outright who was also a reformer and allied with them. So it was coming down to the last couple of positions. And one of those is for president. Sean Fain is the UAW Members United candidate for president of the UAW. He ran on a platform, their slate ran on a platform of no corruption, no tears, no concessions, which is a really fundamental...
that would really resonate here, right? I mean, no tears. Tears has been pretty much locked in. As a matter of fact, could you explain what it is and why they need to get rid of it?
It is. And that is the part of this whole process, which is an earthquake. The tier system is something that was introduced back around 2007. And the idea was that people who were hired after that date were not the same as people who were hired before. They started initially at half the pay. They never got up to the top rate of the people who had been there before. They don't have pensions like the workers who were hired prior to that date have. And it started with the UAW in the United States, but it spread to Canada at about the same time. Mm-hmm. So the Canadian Auto Workers Union and then Unifor, which it morphed into, have continued to bargain contracts where there are different wages and different benefits depending on when you're hired. So different classes of workers. And the divisions that have been created in the workplace are very deep and extremely damaging. They've weakened the union.
Yeah, like it creates a civil war. Like, I mean, you know. And relations between workers.
It makes it very hard to unite workers. And what it means is that not only are those workers suffering, because, of course, they do the same work and produce the same profits for the corporations and don't get nearly the same pay, but also the longer-term workers have suffered because the union is weaker and hasn't been able to negotiate gains for them either. Mm-hmm. And one of the examples that we've talked about is for retired workers in the auto industry. And for 20 years, our union negotiated increases in pensions every year. Since 2007, which is 16 years now, there's been no increases. So people who retired in 2007 or before have not had one penny of increase in their pensions since then. And inflation has been 40% over that period of time. So that's how much they've lost. So it is a huge issue. And it was that kind of appeal that we have to get rid of the tier system. We have to start back on the road of negotiating improvements for workers that has created support for this, the reform candidates and Sean Fain. And I guess to get back to the immediate answer to your question, in the race between Sean Fain and the incumbent president, Ray Curry, they've counted over 138,000 votes, and Sean Fain is ahead by 505.
Whoa.
And there are approximately 600 ballots that haven't been counted yet because it hasn't been determined whether those people were eligible to vote or not, and that has to be investigated in each local union, and they're asking the local union financial secretaries to sign an affidavit about whether or not each individual voter is eligible or not. And once they've gone through that process, which they expect to do in the next day or two, then they'll be able to count those remaining ballots. If every single one of those ballots was deemed eligible, Sean Fain would only need 48 of the votes to win the election. And if 100 of those ballots are deemed not to be admissible, then he wins without getting any of the other votes. So he really is in a strong position, but it can't be called yet until they go through that process.
But there's something looming. There is going to be the bargaining begins. Is that right? Is it the Big Three? It used to be called the Big Three. Are there still three?
There's three. We don't call them the Big Three anymore, at least on this side of the border, because Toyota and Honda and other companies are just as big in some cases. We tend to call them the Detroit Three, but it really is
that's
central
a good title,
to
Detroit Three or Three Plus Two.
It's central to bargaining for our union, and even more so for the UAW. It's a really key sector, and that bargaining, those contracts, both in the United States and in Canada, expire at the same time with those companies in September. So that bargaining really gets underway in August. But before that, in fact, a week from today, the UAW has their bargaining convention where they set the policies that they are going to try to achieve in bargaining. So that's a very important event. And, of course, the supporters of Sean Fain would like very much to see him sworn into office so that he's conducting that convention. And that's still not determined at this point. And, of course, the outgoing leadership, despite they have really been strongly rebuked and rejected by the membership of the union, they didn't want there to be one member, one vote, and the members rejected that. And they have now filed a protest about the election, which you would have to tear your hair out when you read it, because they're saying the election wasn't promoted well enough, not enough members got ballots, not enough members knew about it. And this is coming from the people who have been in charge of the union forever and whose responsibility it was to get that information out to people and to make sure that their addresses were up to date in the system.
So they want to be another shot at it because they messed up in preparation. They said that would be their argument. We failed to do the proper preparation, so we should get another shot at being elected.
Yeah, we tried to prevent people from voting. Basically, we tried to suppress votes, but it looks like we're still going to lose. So therefore, it should be thrown out, and we should start over.
And
that's not going to work. That has already been rejected as an argument for delaying the count or determining the winner. They will be allowed to present that as an appeal afterwards, but it won't change the immediate result.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is good.
Do I understand that a former president of UAW, who is not in prison, gave advice to the incumbent about how he should conduct himself?
That is correct. Bill King, who is a former president of the UAW, one of the former presidents who has not been convicted in jail.
An unindicted co-conspirator.
Well, he's not
he wasn't a co-conspirator, actually.
He wasn't
he didn't have one of those condos, and he didn't find him asleep under a bar.
He wasn't charged with any of the corruption.
Uh-huh.
Two former UAW presidents were charged, convicted, and served jail time.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. He sent a message to the monitor. This is the person who's been appointed by the U.S. feds to oversee the UAW for a six-year period because of the corruption that was uncovered. And it's the monitor who has been conducting this election. And Bill King wrote an open letter to the monitor urging that the process be completed as soon as possible, so that the winner could preside over the bargaining convention next weekend because of the importance of that convention and the importance of the bargaining in the auto industry.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Tony Lea of Unifor, General Motors, Oshawa, legendary plant. Tony, on this thing of the bargaining committee, they have, as I understand, and it's going to be, you say, in a week, the meeting, they're very transparent. The way they go about it.
They have
a
convention.
Is that the practice here? Is that uncommon? I was surprised to hear how easy it is or how easy they make it for members to be able to follow the process.
It's part of the tradition and history of the auto workers unions in the United States and Canada. Of course, we were part of the UAW up until 1985, and the CAW carried on that process for a while, but at some point the idea of having two conventions every 3 years, which is what we were doing, I guess somebody decided they didn't really want to do that, and the idea of a bargaining convention got folded into the constitutional convention in Canada, which meant that it almost disappeared. We have heard that there is going to be a bargaining convention in Canada this year, but it hasn't been officially called yet. So we'll wait to see that. But the tradition has continued in the UAW, and it is important that delegates from all of the locals of the union gather to discuss and vote on what their bargaining priorities are.
So it's delegates and also observers, right? They permit observers.
They permit observers, yes.
Do you have to have union credentials or journalists, or who gets to watch that?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what the criteria are, but we've been assured that if some of us from Canada show up there, that they would be able to arrange for us to be observers. So, it's a relatively open process.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly members of the UAW, whether they're elected delegates or not, can show up observe what's going on. And the UAWD, the Reform Caucus, has encouraged members of the UAW to show up, and they are also having activities every night where they talk about what they feel are the key bargaining issues and resolutions that are going to be put forward, and they're working on their strategies for getting those to the floor to be discussed and voted on. And they were quite successful at that.
You anticipate that that's going to be the tier thing issue will be italicized? I mean, they're going to go for this.
Yes, and in fact, I encourage people to read an interview with Sean Fain that was in the journal In These Times, which you can find online from March 17th.
Because he was In These Times.
In These Times. A very good interview that he's asked a lot of questions about what his plans will be if he's elected president. And he really did identify tears as the first priority. So when he was asked what the UAW would be seeking in negotiations with the Detroit Three, he said eliminating tiers is huge, as well as getting stronger job security language and looking at the high cost of living and helping retirees.
You always call COLA, so they don't have COLA at the moment?
No, it's been deferred. I mean, that's part of the concessions, and we haven't had it in Canada either.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm really glad you made this point, because immediately echoed in my head, we all used to hear about COLA.
Yes.
We just said to each other, COLA. And now you look around and people say, COLA? What are you talking
about? It's almost disappeared from collective agreements in Canada. And the auto sector and the unions in the auto sector were the ones that pioneered that and fought for it over the years. And so it's been a huge loss. But I like the way that Sean Fain responded to this issue. First of all, he said, look at the companies. Last year alone, they made over $35 billion in profits. That's Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis. And he says, our workers generate these profits.
Yes.
He says, cost of living and job security language were suspended back in 2009. In my opinion, there's no excuse that those things weren't reinstated in the 2015 or 2019 bargaining. And this is what he says about tiers. He says, we have to end tiers, this idea of different classes of workers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a top priority going forward. We cannot survive as a union with multiple classes of workers performing the same work.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what a union is about. Everybody's got to have an equal stake.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe he is saying the right things. He's saying things that haven't been said by the leadership of his union, the UAW, or even the leadership of our union in Canada, Uniform,
I mean, it's a natural question. Is Unifor saying they're going to target that issue of tiers?
No, they haven't said that.
So how about COLA, now that I'm making my list, writing on my wrist?
They have said some things about COLA, they haven't clearly identified it as a prime objective in the bargaining this summer, mm-hmm. and I think there needs to be a big push for that.
So, go ahead.
What they did is a bit of sleight of hand. So, in our collective agreements with GM, Ford, and Stellantis, there's still a section that says cost of living, and they have a formula for how you calculate the cost of living based on inflation. But that used to be calculated and paid to workers every 3 months. So every 3 months, you would look at how much inflation had gone up, how many cents per hour that generated, and then workers would start getting that. Mm-hmm. But in our collective agreements for the last three collective agreements, which is like 11 years, they don't do that. The formula is there, but it's only triggered once in the life of the contract. So instead of every 3 months, we get it mm-hmm. every 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's 20 cents or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the calculations. If we were still calculating that cost of living according to the formula that's in our contract, if we'd been doing it every 3 months since our contract started in September of 2020, it would have generated $4.26 an hour right now for every worker.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not getting that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty big thing.
Yeah. By the way, it would appear that from what you're saying that the reputation of the new group, if they succeed to power under Sean Fain, this is going to be where they either establish their credibility and deliver, or they'll be known for that they weren't able to do it, right?
Absolutely.
This is a big... And let me ask you a related matter, because it was a time that it was understood that whatever they got, we got here. I mean, in other words, or whatever we got, they got, because of the old relationship of UAW. Is that true now? I mean, if they get that, does that only apply to the states?
It formerly would only apply in the U.S., but we're going to be bargaining at the same time. And what I would love to see and hope is possible, that if Sean Fain is elected and his team has a majority of the executive board of the UAW, that they reach out to our union in Canada and make real efforts to coordinate our bargaining, because we have exactly the same issues.
Yes.
And we're dealing with the same companies, and we could support each other in bargaining.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's one of the things that Sean Fain identified in this interview, is the need for involving other. Well, here's what he says. He's talking about engaging the members, he's saying we have to do the bargaining differently by engaging the members. He said he's never seen that happen in his 28 years in the union. Mm-hmm. But he says we have to think bigger than just ourselves. We have to engage other unions. We have to work across borders.
Bingo. That's interference, as I understand. CISA says you can't do that.
That's the kind of interference.
Yeah, CISA is going to be watching.
But yeah, I did hear you mention Mexico and workers in Mexico. Mm-hmm. There's twice as many auto workers in Mexico as there is in Canada. But between us, if we could start making steps to have greater unity between auto workers in the United States, Mexico, and Canada, it would be to all of our benefits.
Yeah. Well, going back, I mean, for those of us who remember him, the legendary Bob White, at this point, now you'd use labels like legendary, the idea of coordinating, that we used to follow the process, and they would say, okay, well, now is there going to be a showdown with the big three? And Bob White was a very visible, articulate leader of UAW here,
mm-hmm.
Would be in the mix, and the discussion would always involve how they're coordinating, gains or losses, were they, you know, but it was engagement, real live engagement between auto worker leaders here and UAW leadership there. And when CAW was formed, nobody suggested there be a decoupling, because obviously you had GM and Ford and Chrysler, whatever, on both sides of the border.
Yep.
But what you described sounds like a gradual decoupling.
Really, yes. It was a decoupling, and then it was initially the part of the motivation for the split was that the leadership in the United States was starting to accept concessions mm-hmm. with the corporations that workers in Canada and the leadership in Canada did not want to agree to.
Mm-hmm.
And so it started out as a rejection of concessions, but after a number of years, it turned
shoe was removed and put on the other foot.
Now we've had concessions on both sides of the border without any coordination or ability resist them together.
You'll have to sell out your members, and I take responsibility for selling out mine, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And we won't talk about it. And
yeah.
And everything was fine until somebody arrested the leaders. By the way, just for we can't solve this mystery, but they went to prison, the UAW big shots, a couple of three, I don't know how many.
Well,
we don't know their current status, right? We don't know whether they're in or out.
I haven't checked out every one of them. A number of them have served their terms and been released, but there were 12 senior members of the UAW who were charged, pleaded guilty, and served jail terms.
Well, nothing untoward ever happens here, so we're in the clear.
Well, we're still waiting to find out about our former president.
Yes,
he hasn't had the decency to do what they did, which is to plead guilty and pay a penalty,
or simply appear before his own union and explain anything.
No, it hasn't done that yet.
Which would be my preference, but so long as they share that with the members. It's really an interesting process, you're going to have to leave us hanging by our fingertips like in the old movie theater serials where they say, yeah. Oh, what's going to happen? And by the way, this what's going to happen has been about at least a month old because yes. the vote was done a long time ago, right?
The runoff election ended on February 28th, and they started counting ballots on March the 1st.
So...
Yeah, so we're 20 days into the process
20 days
now.
Into the count, and we're down to
the last 600.
The last 600.
And we're told that they expect to hear something in the next day or two, and I hope that's true. I certainly can't promise it.
That's a perfect place to leave us, because then we can come, next week we can ask you to come back and say, okay, what the heck happened?
Yes.
And it might be, you might... be a mystery for all of us, including yourself. Tony Leo, we really appreciate it. That's very edifying. And I'm really glad we touched on COLA and the matter of the tier system, because that's a headache for Canadian workers. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me, Phil.
Sure thing.